Job 42 is about seeing God in all his power and glory in such an inglorious time in the life of Job. Recently, I keep coming back to big statements about God. I'm wanting to let what God has revealed about himself be the first voice that I hear in the morning and the dominant voice that's in my mind throughout the day. Recently, even before I get out of bed, I'm trying to hear words like Psalm 115. Our Lord is in the heavens, and he does all that he pleases. Now, that's the psalmist asking God to glorify himself when all the nations are saying, "Where is your God?" Or Isaiah 40, "Behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him." That's a big statement about God's power and ruling arm from a prophet who's trying to encourage people to trust God after they have been disciplined, but also restored to the Lord. Or the phrase that we've seen over the past few weeks from Habakkuk chapter 2, "The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." That's the prophet hearing God's own words about himself, giving him a vision of his sovereignty, even as his people suffer. And I think about Stephen in the New Testament, who was stoned to death for faithfully preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he was given a vision of heaven. And in that vision, he saw the glory of God. And he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God, signifying his absolute sovereignty and lordship over all things, as well as his receiving this faithful saint home. These are big visions. They're big statements about God. And this is what gets us through the situations and encounters that we have in this world. And how many times have I gone back to Job 42 and heard these words, this big statement of God's sovereignty? Job 42, beginning in verse 2, "I know that you can do all things." This is Job speaking to the Lord after a long battle of doubt and confusion and questioning. "I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted." And Job is quoting the Lord back to himself as the Lord says, "Who is this that hides counsel without knowledge?" And Job says, "Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know." And the Lord says, "Hear now, and I will speak. I will question you. You make it known to me." And Job, hearing the Lord's words to him, says, I know. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. But now, Lord, I see you with my eyes. Therefore, I despise myself, and I repent in dust and ashes." Strange words, powerful words, but strange words. These words come at the end of Job's suffering, but not before they had ended. So in other words, Job is still in his suffering when he utters these words. And Job has suffered unimaginable calamity. And it's calamity that hasn't been caused by anything that Job did. He is a righteous man. The book of Job tells us that. And so the book of Job is primarily a back and forth between Job and his quote, friends. They are his friends, but they're misled and misleading him in many ways. And they're arguing with each other over why Job is suffering. And at a certain point in the book of Job, Job the man turns to God and he starts to argue with him. He argues with God. He said to the Lord, I want my day in court with you. I want to put some questions before you, God, and I need you to answer me. I need you to give me a reason. I need you to justify yourself for my sufferings when I am an innocent person. And who could blame Job for questioning and doubting and even complaining? I mean, worse things can be done, like cursing God or rejecting God, which Job never did that, but he is questioning and complaining. And so toward the end of the book, at the end of the account of Job, the Lord finally speaks to Job and answers him, but not in a way that Job expects. The Lord doesn't come right out and say, "This is why you're suffering. This will explain it all. This will make you feel better about it." Rather, the Lord puts him through a long series of questions to open up his thinking. A series of questions to give Job a whole new perspective on what's happening to him. But more than that, much more than that, to lift Job's vision to God himself. And so the questions come from God to Job. The Lord says to Job, were you there when I laid the foundations of the earth? It's like he's saying, Job, were you planning creation with me? Job, were you there showing me how to make the world? Were you handing me the tools that I needed and reading the instructions to me as if I needed your help? Job, was it your voice that commanded the day and the night and the light and the dark and the rain and the snow and the ice? The Lord says to Job, how much do you know, Job? Do you know when the goats give birth and why the donkeys run free? Do you know how to make a wild ox be your servant? Do you understand why the ostrich treats her young the way she does? Job, what have you added to the horse and to all of its power and the hawk and all of its skill? Of course, it's a rhetorical question. Job would have to say, no, I wasn't there. I've added nothing. So the Lord says, do you think you can counsel me? Who is this that darkens counsel and thinks he can give me understanding? And he goes on. What about Behemoth? Can you pierce his nose? What about Leviathan? Can you catch him with a fish hook? Of course, the answer is no. So the Lord says, well, then why will you condemn me? Just to prove yourself right. That's the Lord's answer to Job. Now, I have to be honest with you and say that when I read these words, almost every time I read them, the last chapters of the book of Job, there's this sliver of thought in my mind that says the Lord's being harsh and the Lord is being insensitive to Job. I mean, that's not the way you answer a person who's suffering and asks you why. But what I've learned is that it's not up to me to judge how the Lord's words sounded to Job. That's up to Job. Let's let Job tell us how he heard the words of the Lord, the questions of the Lord. This is what Job said. He said, now I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Because I used to hear about you with my ear only, but that knowledge was only so deep. But now, through this line of questioning, Job says, I've come to see you. My eyes now see you. I have a vision of you, of your greatness and of your power. And what's interesting is when Job saw God, Job stopped talking. The Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. When we see God, sometimes we just stop talking. When we question the ways of the Lord, very often the Lord simply answers us with himself. And that's enough. At the top of the list of what we need in all the circumstances and situations of our lives is to see God. To see God is a greater need than to understand why things are happening to us the way they happen. To see God is what subdues the rebellious spirit within us. To see God is what softens the hardness that sets into our hearts. To see God is what comforts us when we're in pain and sorrow. To see God is what convicts us of our sin, leads us to repentance, but also assures us that we are forgiven and free through the death of Jesus Christ. Let us set the Lord always before us. Because with the Lord at our right hand, we will not be shaken. So whoever you are, and whatever you are experiencing, set the Lord before you and ask the Lord to let you see him. To see the Lord will be enough even if things don't change. To see the Lord will be enough even if you don't understand why. And let's think not just about our individual selves, let's think on the large scale. Wouldn't it be sad if we feared and argued and complained and asserted our rightness and expressed ourselves during this pandemic, but missed seeing God? We need to see God's power and sovereignty and holiness and perfection and abounding grace to save and sustain us. We need to see it with the eyes of our heart. We need to see it deep in our soul. It needs to become our guiding vision to the point that it actually humbles us. And we're silent before Him. And then we trust Him. To the point that we actually move into a Christ-like response to all things. But wouldn't it be great? Wouldn't it be great if we can say in the days ahead, either on the other side of an individual trial or on the other side of a pandemic, wouldn't it be great if we could say, I had heard of you with my ears, but now I see you. And I know now with a deep conviction, Lord, that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Well, how can we see God like this? Well, first we have to understand that God must open our eyes. So we need to ask Him. Ask Him for vision. I mean, are you praying? Are you praying that God will open your eyes to see Him as Job did? Seek Him. Pray. Plead with Him. Because this is our hope, to see the Lord. But second, though God must open our eyes, we must put God before our eyes. You see, the Bible tells us that we see God by hearing His word. The vision of God is written down. So we put God before our eyes by opening His word, the scripture, the Bible, and reading and meditating and looking for Him and listening and hearing and receiving. And third, we need to understand that the word that we hear and put before our eyes is the word of Christ and the word of the cross. There in Christ at the cross, we see all things that are needed for all times. The purposes of God for the world, for you, for me, are accomplished in the cross. When we have a vision of the cross, we know that our sins, all of our sins from the past, are cleansed and forgiven, and they will no longer be held against us as we stand before God. In the cross, we see that in our present, right now, we actually stand in a state of grace, standing in the grace of Christ. In the cross, we see that the future really is secure, and that whatever happens on this earth, we know that God is our Father. He'll see us safely home. So we see this in Christ, and so we see Him, we turn to Him, we trust Him. So this week, let me encourage you to hold on to a big statement about God. That God is in the heavens and He does as He pleases. He's in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent. No purposes of His can be thwarted. Here's another one, big statement of God. Nothing will separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Now let that big statement of God pull you forward this week. Our Father, this is our prayer, that Your word would be our hope, that we would rise every morning before the sun comes up, and we would put our hope in Your word. Father, let this today, this week, let the big statements, let Your greatness, Your power, as well as Your grace and Your love, be the first word we hear when we wake up, and the dominating voice in our minds as we go throughout our day and our week. Think how the Lord has spoken to you through the word of Job today. What big word about God will you take with you this week? Keep us this week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.